meeting, April 4, 2015, City of Daytona Beach, Special Magistrate Proceedings on Rental Program Cases. At the outset, I have reviewed, approved, and executed the minutes of our March meeting. Do we have any announcements before we proceed with the hearing of this morning's cases?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, the representatives of the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying. Please step forward and be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
All right, case number one, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. This is the property of 358 Nautilus Avenue.
Good morning, Mr. Vakelja. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. This is this case is before you for imposition of a fine. This came to the city as a tenant complaint. The inspector went out and found the violations that are listed, which also included a failure to license residential rental property. The property remains in non-compliance. The inspector is asking for $100 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000. And that inspector is Jürgen Betts, and I tender Mr. Betts for any factual questions that you may have.
Okay, Mr. Betts, how are you doing on this? Have we made any progress at all?
The property as of yesterday remains in non-compliance.
The property owner done anything at all?
We had no contact from the owner, and there's no obvious repairs that have been done from the exterior.
Okay. And when was the last time you had an opportunity to inspect this property?
Yesterday afternoon.
All right, very good. And I will fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day, commencing April 9, 2015, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance, or I'm sorry, the sum of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000. Let me back up and try this again. All right, I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent sum of $100 per day, commencing April 9, 2015, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000. Case number two, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated, 507 Phoenix Avenue. Mr. Jackson?
Yes, Mr. Vakelja, this property is also before you for imposition of a fine. As you can see, there are numerous items that have been indicated for needs for repair. This is also a failure to license for a residential rental property. The inspectors reported, the inspector's Jürgen Betts, he's reported that there has been no response from the owner. This who was a tenant based. Mr. Betts indicates that he has not had any calls for compliance or information regarding work. However, he, by his own inspection, has seen that work has had begun, but they're far from compliance. He is asking for there to be a finding of non-compliance, and that you impose a fine of $200 per day to $15,000. And again, I'll tend to Mr. Betts for any further factual information.
What's the status of efforts on the respondent's part on this case?
As of yesterday, it remains in non-compliance, and there appears to be new tenants in place.
It appears to what?
There's new tenants occupying the property. The prior tenants have vacated, and there's new tenants in place. And the property remains in non-compliance.
Has the respondent undertaken any of these repairs?
He's done some paint to the exterior. The remaining deficiencies, as far as I know, remain outstanding.
First off, who is GEA Seaside Investments, Inc.?
The owner is Jack Aberman. And I believe his brother. I forget his brother's first name.
Ms. Vakelja, if I may, sir, you may recall we've had a number of these already over the last several months, and some of the information that we've provided over that time is that, as your best our knowledge, Ms. Daberman, for a number of years has been in various stages of bankruptcy. How it's actually, and presumably for GEA itself, but how it's actually affecting what we've done, we found and concluded that it has no immediate effect because these continue to be active properties and actively in non-compliance. So anything that may have been related to the bankruptcy would appear to have been things that have arisen even after the post-petition of the bankruptcy. And so with that being said, Ms. Aberman has made it clear to our inspector early on that he, by writing, was not going to be responsive and had asked, in fact, and ordered that the inspector not come to his property and other things of that nature. And there is still, I believe, there is still an active lawsuit where he filed concerning his disagreement with our right and existence of the rental property law. The most recent on that federal lawsuit is that there were a dismissal of many of the counts, but there are still some counts that remain, and so it's still an active lawsuit.
All right. The last case we just had, you proposed $100 per day. Now you're proposing $200 a day. Why is that?
And I'll look to Mr. Betts.
The reason for the increased amount, sir, is because of the large amount of deficiencies that were noted at the property.
Very good. All right. Then I'm going to find the respondent, sum of $200 per day, commencing April 9, 2015, and continuing each day thereafter until the amount of the has reached $15,000 or the property is in compliance, whichever occurs first. Case number three, Geraldine DeMarcus.
Matt Rodriguez for Wells Fargo.
Matt Rodriguez for Wells Fargo. Okay. And what does Wells Fargo have to do with Ms. DeMarcus?
We're foreclosing on the note on the subject property. We're not the current owner. We have a foreclosure sale date set for September 4th. But at this time, we're not the owner, not the violator. And I believe at this point the property is occupied. So we haven't had an opportunity to comply at this point. We'd ask for an extension of lease out past the sale date or after we, you know, have title to give an opportunity to comply. I believe that there was the hearing in March. We weren't notified until after the hearing, so that was the reason for our non-appearance at the March 10th hearing.
A couple of things, Mr. Vakelja. Of course, September is far off. And I'm looking at these list of violations that include exterior appearances and things that would be impacting beyond just the internal or the owner or residence of the property. The inspector's also informed me he believes, and this is not with certainty, but he believes that the tenants moved out this weekend. He had some, and I'll, of course, tender Mr. Benz for any further information regarding that. So at this stage, you know, if there's some way that Mr. Rodriguez can be able to take some action, well, you know what? Let me speak further with Mr. Benz.
Yeah, my inclination is to not ignore this as long as this property is being utilized or occupied. If this property was vacant, it could be boarded up from now till September. That might be one thing. But I'm looking at a case that talks about missing smoke detectors in bedrooms, utilities cut off, and somebody, and people are telling me there's tenants in there. Well, if that's the case, then we're dealing with this right now. So with all due respect, that's not something I can just ignore or put off. Now, if there is no tenant in there and the property can be secured, then perhaps I can accommodate the council's request. As it stands right now,
And that's the position of the city. That's what I was about to return to express to you, Mr. McKelcher, that the position of the city is as long as this property is vacant and remains vacant and unoccupied, we're willing to tolerate it and be patient for a process. But if this and I don't know if Mr. Rodriguez can control that other than through maybe some action in his in the foreclosure itself. But at this point, we don't have anyone here that can give us that assurance or exercise that authority. And so I don't know what we can what would be the basis for holding down.
To the best of my knowledge, last week it was occupied. I drove by yesterday. It appeared to be vacant. I checked with the water department, and there was an order to have the water shut off on Friday. So it would appear the tenants had moved out since Friday. So I cannot confirm that as vacant, but it appears as of now it is indeed vacant.
Okay. And what ability do you have to go there and secure the property?
If it's vacant, I believe we can secure the property. If it's not vacant, then we wouldn't be able to do anything. We don't have title at this time. So if it is indeed vacant, then we could secure it to secure the bank's interest in the property. But
all right, what sort of fines the city proposing for this respondent?
Mr. Couch, what we were recommending was $100 today. Per day to $15,000. What Mr. Bentz suggests, and I'm in agreement with that, is that we're willing to amend this to the next cutoff.
I'm not.
Okay. But that was the only point. But
I am willing to impose a fine and stipulate that if the property is vacant, if the lender can get in there, if they can secure it to city standards, then at that point we can discontinue the running of the fine. So, if this property is vacant now, then it'll be a fine that will amount to nothing. If that tenant's still in there and is going to hold over and continue to not make these corrections, then we're going to fine them just like we're supposed to. All right. So, I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent for some of what was the amount again?
$100 per day.
$100 per day, commencing April 9, 2015, and continuing each day thereafter. Until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches $15,000, whichever occurs first. I'm going to further order that if the property can be secured to city stand, I'm sorry, if the property can be vacated or is determined to be vacated and can be secured to city standards, then we will discontinue the running of the fine from the date that property is secured to city standards, and then I will consider a request by the lender to extend that past September 4th. We good?
Yes, and I guess the only question would be a question of, ultimately it would be an affidavit. Well, it wouldn't be compliance, but some form of stipulation from the inspector that indeed it's secure. So I don't know if we want to do that by having.
I don't know what resources council has that he can bring to bear to get this property vacated and secured to city standards. It's obviously in the lender's best interest to do that, but I'm sure the lender has lots.
Well, we would encourage Mr. Rodriguez that whatever action he takes, once you believe it meets that standard, the standard that you just required, that he take photos and make immediate notification to the inspector.
Well, what I was going to suggest to Mr. Rodriguez is if you or your people determine that a property is vacant, then you can somehow take possession of it and notify the city of that, secure it, they'll make a record of it, and then we'll revisit on a rehearing the imposition of the fine.
Okay.
And I will pretty much assure by him we'll revisit the matter of the fine. Okay?
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Case number 4, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. Failure to license rental property.
Okay, Mr. McKelcher.
229 Hollywood Avenue.
Yes. On this property, Mr. McKelcher, as we've done in the past, this one only cites the failure to license rental property, presumably related to the inability to access or enter the structure itself. We've previously cited and fined GEAC Sound Investments, Inc. on this as a prior violation. So we bring this as a repeat violation, and we would ask for imposition of a fine of $100 per day to a maximum of $15,000.
This is for failure to license?
Yes.
We can do that?
Yes, sir. This the failure to license is pretty much the basis in which Mr. Betts is introduced to these properties in the first place under the rental property program.
Doing his inspection and being able to do us a full report?
Yes, sir.
All right. Have we previously ordered that this be brought into compliance?
No, but we have other properties of GEAC Sound Investment, Inc., so this would come as a repeat violation, and that's how it was noticed. And so,
when are you proposing to find again?
As of today's date.
All right, then I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent, the sum of $100 per day, to continue each day thereafter. So the amount of the fine has reached $15,000 or the property is in compliance, whichever occurs first, that fine to be effective as of today, April 14th. Or that fine to commence as of today, April 14th. Okay?
Thank you.
Case number five, Audra James Bowers. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Okay. Ms. Vicalgi, this one's before you for finding of compliance or non-compliance. Again, Mr. Betts is the inspector on this. There is some factual information. It is in non-compliance, and I'll tend to Mr. Betts to give you a further factual information.
Good morning, Mr. Vicalgi. Jurgen Betts, Rental Inspector, City of Daytona Beach. Apologize for not doing that earlier. This is a property where the property manager came in and submitted an application for a rental license in late 2013. We've conducted an inspection. Seven violations were noted. As of yesterday, the owner has repaired everything except for the windows. According to the owner, as of yesterday, they have signed a contract with Home Depot to get the remaining windows replaced. They submitted a letter about 10 days ago for you to read as their own personal statement, but they are in compliance with the exception of the windows, and they expect to be in compliance by next cutoff date.
And is that a reasonable expectation of compliance?
Yes, sir.
All right. Based on the report of our inspector and having taken into consideration the respondent's correspondence, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to commit compliance or be returned to the or come into compliance by May 6, 2015 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number six, GEAC Site Investments. This property at 21 South Peninsula Drive. Not seeing a respondent, let's say the city.
Once again, Ms. Vicalgi, this is another property from GEAC Sound Investments. Interestingly, this is a property that has been before you previously, but it was solely for the failure to license. Our problem with this property at this point is that the owner is still continuing to lease the property, and we have a new tenant that's come in. This new tenant who is through tenant complaint has brought in Mr. Benson, and he's been able to do an inspection and find all of these deficiencies. And so with this new information, we felt the need to initiate another case and bring that before you. And so that is what's before you for finding of compliance and non-compliance. I would mention to you as well, I believe, I don't know if this is the tenant that's present. The tenant is present as well as Ms. Helinski from, what do we call that now?
Community Legal Services.
Community Legal Services. And I don't know if either one of those wanted to be heard, either one of them.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
But ultimately, the position of staff is noncompliance, next cutoff.
Good morning. Thank you so much for giving me the time to speak to you. I kind of just...
Can you state your name?
Jennifer Nolan.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely, yes. Again, thank you for hearing me out. If I would have known there was a previous violation, I'd have never moved in. I feel like he's taking advantage of people. When I went into this property to rent it, I only saw stuff that didn't appear to be too bad, the smoke detectors, whatnot. He made a promise that he was going to fix these within a certain amount of time. He didn't. I sent him a letter per, you know, the online legal thing. It didn't work. Ended up going to Community Legal Services and asking Jergen beforehand to please come and inspect the property because I knew there was stuff wrong. Also, like I said, I tried to get him to fix it first, and he just flat out refused. He had had my money, and he didn't want to do anything. Called code enforcement because I knew some of it was really bad. Jergen came in and found all this stuff and then told me the house was previously sanctioned, and then I went to Community Legal Services. And since then, I did move out because my children were not allowed in this house due to the violations at here. So obviously, I have to have my kids with me. I moved out. But then in return, he decided to evict me as soon as he found out I let Jergen in. The house from the outside does not appear to be too bad. But when you go inside, there are multiple things that are safety hazards. And I don't think that he should be able to continue to rent this. As soon as Jergen was in there, he immediately put the house up for rent before I even, like, told him, I'm leaving. I sent the letter. I'm not giving you any more rent. He immediately put it back in the paper for rent. There's a for rent sign out there. So the last 3 weeks while I was moving out, I've got random people coming and looking in the windows because he's already trying to rent it out again. It's on a shared meter with a shed in the backyard. He's calling an efficiency. I'm here to try and get something done to where nobody else has to go through what I went through. Nobody has to put their kids in danger. I mean, I don't know how else to... make Jack.
How much rent was he charging?
Actually, to move into the property, I had to pay first, last, and security at $900. So that was $900 first, $900 last, and $900 security.
And the rent was $900 a month?
Yes, sir. And I paid all the way through. I paid December's, January's, February's, and then March was withheld, but I did file the legal letter. And as soon as that happened, he got the letter and then turned around and evicted me once he found out that I had filed against him for these code violations with the city in order to get out of my lease and not have an eviction on my record. He turned around and filed a suit against me for eviction. I've also gotten numerous threats from him as well. So... I just won't want him to be able to take advantage of anybody else, especially somebody that moves into that big house that has kids because of the hazards that are there.
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you for hearing me. I appreciate your time.
All right. Based on the testimony I've received, I find the property to be in non-compliance. How much time should it reasonably take for this property to come into compliance?
Within the next cutoff. Ms. Calcher.
And I'll order the respondent to commit to compliance by May 6, 2015, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now, just out of curiosity, what remedies did the city have available when you know there was a property in non-compliance and you've got a property owner that continues to just re-let it, especially a property with life safety hazards like exposed live electrical wire sticking out of the backyard, for example?
Probably. I understand. Yeah, probably.
I want to know a month from now when he's not in compliance, I want to know what all recourse I have available to me.
Yes, sir. There's two situations. The recourse for code enforcement is very limited. The statute doesn't give a whole lot more other than you authorizing us to foreclose. But other remedies of the city would be to enjoin. That would be our other remedy. So it would be either moving forward on foreclosure, which, as you know, is a time-consuming situation, or seeking an injunction.
For the fifth GEA case I'm seeing here, I'm being told he's not allowing inspectors on the premises. I'm being told tenants are being retaliated against when inspectors are allowed on the premises. You know, I don't care about his litigation against the city. It'll either fly or it won't fly. That's none of my business. But, you know, we obviously have a property owner slash landlord here who's just rogue.
Right. The litigation...
I'm trying to measure my words so whatever I say won't be used against me.
The litigation is in-house, so I will let the attorney that's handling that know the status of what we're dealing with over
with that. May 12th, I want to know what sort of, like I said, things I can do over and above finding if there are any.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Good luck, you, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I appreciate your time.
No problem.
Yeah.
Did you? Okay. I'm sorry. Ms. Linsky wanted to come up briefly, so... Maybe with some ideas.
I normally don't come over here, but I do appreciate your perspective. Your perspectives on this. Yes, I am. Debbie Haliski with Community Legal Services of Mid Florida. H A L L I S K Y. What I wanted to say is that we've had numerous clients come in from multiple properties owned by GEAC side, and it actually prompted me to do an analysis of the public record of how many evictions happen over and over again in these situations, and it's quite a lot, and I've been able to provide that to the city. And in this particular property, it's had six evictions, actually processed evictions, prior to this client and yet another client before her who have complained about conditions, but when there's an eviction filed in a retaliatory fashion because that individual even learns that they can properly withhold the rent, they're really trying to get out, and it's difficult for them to get out. In Ms. Nolan's case, actually, she came in proactively, and there is a formal affirmative litigation that myself and a pro bono co-counsel have filed. During the process of serving him with that affirmative complaint, which does have multiple claims, including fraud and deception, if you will, which is meaty, he filed the eviction action. Now, that eviction action was just voluntarily dismissed because the attorney that he had for that recognized the details that probably she did not have when she filed the action. But it is an over and over kind of thing. And while this is all in the public record, I can easily see that with each one of these individuals, it's a first, last, and security. They're without the money to leave, and immediately that eviction action is filed. So the only way that, the only suggestion, which is something, you know, about a year ago, I think I was making the same thing, and you're saying it's keeping that next tenant from coming in. And when you see these kinds of violations, you know, certainly I, like you, would like to see it boarded up and vacant before the next person comes in, but that could be problematic with regard to what is substantial compliance. I'd love for these orders, when there is either a non-compliance or, you know, I'd like for the cases to move sooner, but it would help me in the civil cases if there was some order ordering that landlord not to re-rent, or if there's some, here's the report, and I'm renting to you with some kind of a waiver, not always is a roof over your head uninhabitable, so that I could use it in the civil case and potentially rise it to the level of a prohibited practice. And that's the only window of opportunity that we at Legal Services can see to deal with a landlord who just fails to show up, fails to listen, and regularly retaliates.
Well, you are welcome to join us on May 12th of 2000.
I will.
As I suspect, GBC Side Investments
yes.
Probably will not come into compliance. I don't know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. That's my suspicion. And at that point, we'll be considering what sort of penalties.
Okay.
And you've already heard me ask counsel what the range of penalties include. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to chime in.
Yes, thank you very much for hearing me.
All right, any miscellaneous business regarding the rental program cases that you presented?
I did. In light of what Ms. Linsky has offered, I made a note here, and I don't know if this is something you would want to address now. If you would want to possibly reconsider your previous order and amend it to include that the property not be rented or occupied until it's brought into compliance, I think what she may be asking, if I'm not, is that that become maybe part of a standard order with these properties where we have all of these deficiencies, and unfortunately with this specific property owner, there hasn't really been any known action of bringing anything into compliance.
Well, you know what? Let's do that on May 12th.
Okay.
The respondent's not here. The respondent had every opportunity to be here. The respondent will be notified of next hearing, if you will, at which we'll consider what sort of penalties or fines to take into consideration. And this is a topic that we probably need to educate me on as we continue to get deeper and deeper into these rental program cases. So like I said, I'd like to know what the panoply of penalties are that's available to the special magistrate, because it appears, I'm not going to prejudge GEA, and they're happy to come down here and tell me their side of the story whenever they want, but I'm just saying that there seems to be a pattern occurring here, and if that's the case, then I want to know what sort of recourse the city has when it comes to the more egregious violators. Anything else?
Nothing further.
All right, then we are going to adjourn the rental program cases, and we will